Well, welcome back to the Coven House, the witching hour. I'm really excited about today. So earlier in, I think it was in episode one, we were talking about how you can be more than one witch. You could be either a garden witch mixed with a little bit of a holistic. You could be a white witch mixed with a little bit of darkness. It all depends on who you are and what kind of fascinates you and what you kind of like to play with to kind of get your messages out there to everybody. So today we have Tamara on, and she identifies as a cowgirl witch riding a broom. No.
Without the cow.
Without the cow.
Or maybe the cow's dead.
A redneck witch. We got a redneck witch on. So Tamara is the one that does all the darker witch kits in shop. So if you've ever come into the Coven House and you've seen a couple squished rats, maybe some turtled.
Oh, on the squirt?
Pickled squirrels. You'll find werewolf hairs down there. You'll find coffin nails. Everything that you need to kind of play around with, like the darker side of things. That's how Tamara does her release. Tamara, you want to tell us a little bit about your jars and how you find all of your little fun creations that go into the jars, like
sure.
Snakes?
Sure. So I think I've done 4 or 5 kits already that you've had through your store, but I've been doing them probably about 4 or 5 years now, and so usually I put them on Marketplace and I market them around Halloween, and it's just to make a little bit of money and help me be a strong independent financially solely independent young lady, and I go for lots of walks with my dog, and I come across these cool things, and I think there's power in things that are born, things that start life, things that you can see, like springtime, but I think there's also power in things that are decomposing and that are dying and that have died and that have passed on. And I think it's kind of cool to look at them, not only at a science perspective, but to really look at them and examine them. So I think when my kids were small, I sort of started it out as when you go into like a science lab or a science class, like when you're at school and you see all the jars lined up and there's lots of things floating in them or collected, and you sort of look at it and you look at their labels and you sort of, oh, that's kind of cool. And some of them you can actually open and touch or open and smell, which is not always a good thing. But you can get to see what things are like without knowing exactly what they're like. And so that's how I started it. My kids were small, and I started putting birds' nests in, like, jars. And I was going to do, like, a whole science table for them. And then, in the last 10 years, I've sort of gotten into, going for... Well, obviously, I've gotten a dog. Yeah. And so I go on walks daily because that's, dogs need that. And, of course, my personality of dog was a husky. So that tells you where I'm at.
Very active dogs.
Very active dog. And so the dog will look at me at the end of the day and she's tired. So I know that I've done my job. And we come across all these cool things. And so invariably I load them into my pocket. I look them up. I like to find out what they are too. Sometimes I come across things that I've never seen. I think you had a vole in one of the jars.
Yeah.
And so a vole, if nobody knows, is sort of a little mole, and they can't see very well, and they're like a mouse, and they have, a different nose and a different tail than a mouse, but they do live underground, and they have different teeth, and it's kind of cool. And so not a lot of people even know they live here. And so it's just, I don't know, it's cool.
So you find healing for yourself in finding, like, these animals that have passed on type deal, and that you're kind of recycling them. You're recycling the earth, in a sense.
I am. And so some of this is about, like, cleaning up. And so when I go outside, I see... And so when I'm going on my walks, I do things like snow piles and, like, the sides of the riverbank and things like that could have washed up, or if the birds were there, they would have left feathers. And it's not always just dead animals either. Sometimes it's like, it could be like a bolt or a piece of a chain link, or I've found spoons or a belt, and I'll use those where they need to be used. Sometimes I will use them in the decorating of the jars. So the item that I found, I'll remember where I found it, and I'll sort of piece it together with a couple shells or a piece of witch's hair or just something cool. So in a sense, I'm cleaning up. So when I go out, and I load my pockets with plastic bags and other things too. Obviously, I'm not going to decorate your store with that.
Yep.
But, and I don't, you know, I think that that's a shame. And I will put that into the recycle. And I have been known to make fishing lures out of plastic containers that you find at Save-On and things like that. So I will keep things that I know that I can repurpose, and then that saves, you know, a little bit.
How do you come up with all your creative ideas? Like in shop right now, we have these wonderful serial killer bowls, and it's literally a bowl with blood splatter on the side that says serial killer on it. Comes with the cutest little shovel spoon too. Like, how did you look at a bowl and think, hey, this is a great idea?
Okay, so that particular bowl, not my invention. I spend hours on Pinterest.
Oh, fair enough.
I spend hours on the internet. I spend hours thinking about things, probably while I should be sleeping. I overthink while I'm sleeping. I'm probably still thinking while I'm doing lots of things. And so I will take an idea. Sometimes it is not quite mine, and I will extend it or make my twist on it. And so I found... I think the serial killers bowls were on Pinterest, but I did my spin to it.
I love the spin to it,
right?
Too.
I did the shovel. I was like, how could I make this more, you know, weird and scary, but not? It's sort of a joke. It's sort of a tongue-in-cheek. You know, is it family-friendly? I mean, hell, lots of kids watch different movies. It's kind of cool. It's a neat gift. It's a neat gag gift. Obviously, I'm not promoting serial killing, but just that of Rice Krispies and corn pops and those kinds of things. It was meant as a joke. But I have been known to relax to a crime documentary or other thing. Yes.
I love how you find comfort in horror.
Just to relax, right? I don't find it always, like, peaceful of what happens.
That's fair.
But, like, sometimes it is what it is. It was a story. It happened, right?
Tamara also makes really awesome dream catchers, too, out of moose jaw bones and just, like, the coolest stuff, dried mushrooms and little tiny bones and beaks and everything like that. So you do play around quite a bit with skulls and bones and stuff like that. Do you ever find that you, like, get any kind of residual from playing with deceased animals that have died of natural causes?
I don't always know how they've died.
Yeah.
And so when I come across animals or a jawbone, you know, maybe that has washed up on the riverbed, I'm like super score, right? Like I don't, and I wouldn't know, like maybe somebody poached the animal, right? And so I don't know the backstory, and I'm just like, hey, this would make great art. But also there's meaning in it, right? To know that that was something that walked the earth.
Do you ever feel like sometimes when you're done with an animal that, hey, maybe I should cleanse my house? Do you ever get like that feeling? Do you ever feel like it's kind of icky or?
No. And so I, funny story, I will diverge a little bit. So I do things like I repaint and flip furniture and things like that. And I've always had that in the back of my head where people are like, you know, are you okay with things that come into our, you know, your house? Do you feel any weird attachment or anything? And so usually when I'm purchasing an item, I feel the vibe of it.
Yeah.
I don't know whether I'm super conscious about it all the time or super not. sometimes I'm just like, score, that's free. And I just know that if it's not meant to be mine or it's got some negative attached to it that I can't handle, that I don't want it near me, and that I either pass by or a deal falls through. So like when I'm on Marketplace and I'm spending hours on there, you know, if it falls through, it's fallen through for a good reason.
Exactly.
And so it doesn't come home with me, and I'm okay with it. I'm at peace with it. I have never felt, and this is where the story gets funny, that I've needed to smudge. And so I do provide you with lots of different smudge sticks in the store.
Yes.
With, you know, a real cool combinations. And obviously I collect those ethically, and I'm mindful of, you know, what I take from a plant. I have been smudged before, and I find it relaxing. The person I was smudged one time, and he's like, holy crap, you've got so much negative energy attached to me. And he was probably right. I did. And, you know, it felt releasing. I felt the meditation and the release of it was very mindful. Like, it's very mindful. And I don't look down on, or I really believe that people need to do what they need to do for themselves. And so I've never used one of my smudge sticks. And so usually when I pass them out, I've sold them, I've gifted. If people tell me that they don't have quite enough money, or, you know, I've given them less, you know, like less of a cost. I try to be really people pleasing and helping people. And so it was about, I think back in September, so maybe even August. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to try. I'm going to just check out what this is all about and see if I can relax, because obviously I've got lots going on. And so I took a bunch of loose sage brush, which is different than sage. It's got its own medicinal properties. And it's revered, not quite as much as sage. It's a different plant completely. But it does have medicinal, and again, you know, purification.
For someone who's listening, what kind of medicinal properties are behind the sagebrush?
So it protects and it cleanses and just, you know, takes things off you.
Yeah.
So very much similar as sage would.
Yeah.
It's just a different plant.
Exactly.
And while it's more prevalent, I guess, in BC, yeah, we're not so hot up here of a climate. So we can grow sage, but not year round unless it's indoors. Sagebrush tends to flourish as close as some of the banks of Williams Lake.
Oh, that's crazy.
So that is quite close to us.
Yeah.
And then obviously all down the Okanagan and into the Kootenays and those kinds of places. So a lot of BC is known for sagebrush.
Yeah.
And again, I identify that I don't appropriate. I identify more that I'm taking on the Wiccan, the feel of that.
You definitely, and it's okay. Doctor's orders here. So from what I've seen so far, just from working with you and stuff like that, you're definitely, after, like, how can I put this? So I think with you being quite the scavenger that you are,
I'm like a crow.
You're like a crow. You are like a little crow.
I
am. Like,
I like
shiny raven
stuff.
You do.
I do. And I love like ravens, but they don't like my facial recognition, so they fly far away from me.
You're very,
I think I scare them.
You're very in tune with other auras and vibrations around you, whether you want to see it or not. Even when we had that customer that left the shop when you were coming in and bringing those dream catchers, remember she left, and then she physically came back and had a conversation with you, and it was like, right away, you were able to like tap into her. And I don't even know if you knew that you were doing it, but you do absorb these messages, whether you want to call it a redneck cowgirl riding a broom.
Without the cow.
Without the cow, or whether
they're in my Rubbermaid.
Whether you're Wiccan, or if you're just doing this for fun, or just as a release, or a way for you to do some healing, you definitely receive those messages. You definitely have that sense about people, and I don't know if it's just something that you've picked up along the way. Because even talking about your dog and how you guys would always go for walks and stuff like that, that is your familiar. That is your person. That's who you feel comfortable with going out and absorbing all these energies and picking up things that have passed on and absorbing that and making it into something beautiful. Like, I never thought I would say that a squished toad was fascinating until I got one in a jar from you.
And was it fascinating for you?
It was very fascinating.
Right? It's kind of cool.
And everyone was just so pumped about it. So I did have a client come into the shop and purchase your last, I know you like to call them jars, but your last witch kit, your darker witch kit. And she came in, and as I was talking to her about it, I said, oh, it even comes with the drawer that you had dropped off. And this client goes, oh. She did it properly then. See, subconsciously, you don't even know that you're doing this properly. It's just, you're just reacting off of your instincts and what just makes sense creatively in your mind. Is that a word, creatively? It is now.
Creativity. Okay, cool.
It is what it is.
I forgot to end that one story with the smudge. The sagebrush.
Yeah, yeah.
So I have to divert.
Okay, let's go back.
Because it's going to bother me forever.
Yeah.
Okay, so I had a bunch of loose smudge. And obviously, for people who don't know, it's not tied. It's just, as I picked and dried it, it's just loose. And so I put it in a bowl. And this is where it gets funny. Because I think I must have lit it about 20 times. And so it would light, and then it would just go out. And I'd be like, awesome. So I have either so much energy, or like I'm just vibing that it's just like, and nope, we're not doing it. And so I didn't really get to experience it, but I thought it was kind of funny because I am known for a lot of energy. And for that, I have been misunderstood a lot. And I'm okay with being a lot now, but that I've gained in wisdom and in my age and in my years, and even my dog sometimes finds me a lot, right? But I'm okay with it, and I'm okay with if I'm taking on too much, right? Like, I have a really stressful empath job that I soak a lot up, and I'm sort of like a glorified sponge that I have to release at the end of the day. And so some days are worse than others, and I'll release, you know, like at my break time where I'm going for a walk in the middle of the bush, and where I work is very close to the bush, so I can. And I'm, you know, looking for pine cones and looking for, you know, witch's hair and, you know, looking at cool leaves. And also, you know, I'm a photographer on the side, so I'll take pictures. And, you know, I just love the feels that outside brings, and I would spend days and be alone outside if I could. Obviously the dog has to be there, so that doesn't count.
Familiar.
But you know, I'm okay with taking off my shoes out there. I'm okay with, you know, just hanging.
So you feel a connection when your shoes come off and your toes kind of like dig into the grass?
I feel a connection when my shoes are on, baby. When I went through some pretty dark times about 10 years ago, and so I realized very quickly that I couldn't control a lot of things in my life, and nor my backstory or what I've been through. I can just control where I'm going and my day to day. And so a lot of times when I get overwhelmed or my anxiety would get out of control, and yeah, I'm a creative, anxious person. I would go to a park or out in the bush. It didn't have to be even around anybody. It could have been just like a forest service road, and I just pull off to the side, and my dog comes out, and I go out, and, you know, I would just sit down in the bush and, like, actually sit. And if I couldn't breathe, I would lay down.
Have you ever had an encounter with, like, a live animal while you were out and about?
So my dog protects me a lot, mm-hmm. and, you know, she'll let me know. I get very close to shitting my pants sometimes when, you know, I'm out and I'm laying down and I've lost track of time. And, you know, sometimes I'm crying, sometimes I'm laughing, sometimes I'm doing a combination. Out of the blue, she'll start barking and I'll be just like, holy crap, what's that? And sometimes I'll hear stuff and sometimes I won't. I know that she'll keep me safe. On the side of doing all of this, I am a hunter and I do hunt and I like to bring things home. I have been known for, you know, finding a dead animal carcass on the side of the road and dispatching its head so I could bring it home and clean everything. I do that on my friendly barbecue where my neighbors love the smell of that and probably limits my guests through, you know, my neighborhood and the welcome wagon and all that, which is okay. I'm a very, very happy in my safety and solitudeness because my job is so very busy. Everything that I do on the side, I try to be more of an introvert. I very much identify as extrovert and introvert.
Happy medium.
Yeah. And so, but I realize that I have to power down. And so stirring my pot on the barbecue is, well, it gets fun.
I bet. So Tamara also makes our wonderful pin dolls. If anyone's come down to the Coven House and grabbed one of your own, because a couple have gone out the door at this point. Pin dolls, some of you will call them voodoo dolls, some of them are poppets. So yeah, you could have a lot of fun with that. They could be used for a positive or a negative. So if you're wanting to put a curse or a hex on someone, you can definitely get one of those pin dolls and pin a picture to the person or a piece of their hair. And then just envisioning that person while you're putting the pin in and out of the dolls, you would inflict pain. However, there is also love and healing that you can do with these little cute pin dolls. And what you can do is these pin dolls, you can remove the pins from that's already naturally put in there and give them a hug, or you can wrap it with lavender, rose, you can put crystals around it too, just envision that doll being yourself and attracting all of the positivity. So a pin doll is not just necessarily a negative thing. It could also be a positive thing too with healing. However, with Halloween coming up, I think you need to double up on these pin dolls because we are putting a new spin on Elf on the Shelf. We're going to think of something super creative with these pin dolls and we're going to have a lot of fun with this because I kind of want to show the white side of the yin yang with these pin dolls. I want to show how they could also be a lot of fun and not just about, you know, like, oh, let's cut a piece of that person's hair and hex them or curse them. If you guys want to know how to do a hex, I got a couple spells that I could pass on to you, but we're not going to talk about it this time.
So with the pin dolls, I started as like, probably a few years ago, I started making really spooky dolls. And so, and again, everybody's seen them on, you know, Pinterest or, the, you know, and so obviously I sew on the side. I'm a seamstress. I have a sewing business. All of these skills help me create and overthink all hours of the night. And yep. Yes, I am a night owl. I stay up all night when given the chance. And now it's spring break and I'm screwed. But so I create these nightmarish dolls, and I think they're fascinating. I don't think they're scary or spooky at all. I think they're funny, and I find some of the porcelain dolls and the doll collections of, you know, our mothers, our grandmothers, our great-grandmothers, those are spooky as hell. And so, but some of the newer ones, I think they're kind of cool.
So you mean to tell me Annabelle can be located in your household? Is she beside Chucky?
No, and I don't even think I've seen that, you know, movie or book or anything. I've done, like, it's a weird combination. And so I started the whole weird doll thing from that. And I saw these cool little pin dolls that I could make out of wire. And I'm all about wire. I love wire. Sometimes I find wire along the beach and I'll bring wire home. Because why? It's not good for the environment. Why is it on the riverbank? I don't know. Something could get hurt on it. I don't know. Something could choke on it. So I bring it home. Sometimes it makes it into the recycling bin because I do recycle. And sometimes I use it in my art. And so I'll make things out of it, and I'll bend and I'll twist. And I started thinking, wow. And so a lady gave me a whole bunch of styrofoam balls, and I'm like, what the hell am I going to do with that? But once people find you're creative, they want to give their collections to you. And so you end up with more collections, and you're like, awesome. So out of that, I'm like, that's great, but what am I going to do? So I'm like, what if? And so it just so happened Valentine's was coming up, and I was like, well, that's great. There's a lot of love in the world, but there's a lot of people who have been through pain, or a lot of people that have angst that they feel on these kinds of days that Hallmark has created for us.
So then it's kind of like an outlet for them too as well. Yeah. It's just like, damn you for doing this to me. Poke, 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 poke.
Yeah, and it can't, like, it doesn't have to be a hex or curse. And I'm not at all, like, I'm not scared about that. Everything that has come or could have come my way in life has already come. And so bring it.
Bring it on.
Right? And so I'm not scared about that kind of stuff. I feel strong. And so to me, they're cute. To me, they're fun. And if it means that I'm not, you know, if I have to go to my car and, you know, manifest my dark energy into that and then have a laugh about it, then I'm cool with it. You know, like, you can be my little bitchy doll. And you can hang out with me, and he's cute as hell. He doesn't even have a face on him.
I know, he's adorable.
Right? Like, they're, are you blind? Cute. Are you the blue man? I don't know what you are.
I have a client that wants to come and purchase probably the last 20 that I have in shop right now and just make, like, this voodoo army. And I'm sure he wants to, like, there's going to be a doll per person that is pissed off this guy, I promise you. And it depends on the day of the week he's going to be poking away with that. I can guarantee you anything.
Well, let's hope he uses it for good. And you know what?
But I've seen pin dolls where it's like lavender has been wrapped around it, yeah. Rose quartz and stuff like that. And it has brought their lives like greater meaning, happier. Like, it's just another form of self-love, right?
I think a lot of people are scared of the dark. And I think a lot of people are like, oh my God, I'm evil or I'm sinful. You know, people who have grown up in the church or have church affiliation. And it's gotten a really, really bad rep.
Yeah, it has,
and
yes.
Honestly, I am being, I work with a lady who is now my friend, and she is known as sort of the light side, and I'm known as sort of the dark side.
You don't say.
And and she's got like white, we've got jars on our desk, and they're filled with like wheatgrass and straw, and she's got white feathers in her jar, and I've got dark feathers in my jar, like black. And there's power in light, and there's power in dark.
There definitely is.
And I used to be so afraid of death and so scared of things, and I'm, you know, I'll still tell you, I still worry about everything, but we don't have to have it all figured out. And I know that there is great purpose for us to be here, and I have a lot of beliefs, but I don't think I need to fear things that are dark or spooky. And you know, I'm okay to go for a walk at night. I do a lot of hiking at night, and yeah, it's got a different element to it.
I bet.
Right? I'm not gonna lie, I have shit my pants a little. but I've seen some really cool things. And you did ask if I've come into, you know, the growls of the animals and different things like that. But I've seen things like marmots and hawks, and, you know, come in touch with animals that, you know, obviously bears. I've seen bears. My dog loves bears, not. but, you know, like, things cross your path. Lots of foxes, lots of coyotes, lots of foxes. And foxes are supposed to be known for, you know, animals that cross your path when somebody has died close to you. Yeah. And wants to let you know that they're still there. And so lots of foxes. I lost somebody close, and I saw foxes all the time for years. And so that was really, really cool.
Yeah.
So going back, I don't think there's fear in darkness, and I don't think everybody needs to be in the light, and I think that everything needs to have balance. And I think it's okay to embrace our fears and work through them and, you know, see the tunnel and sort of talk it out and work it out and pick up the feather and, you know, pick up the fishbone and, you know, see what, where we're at, and okay to be in touch with everything.
Well, and that's why I like to look at witchcraft as a yin and yang sign, right? Because you can't have white without a little bit of darkness, and you can't have darkness.
I like a lot.
We don't even like the white spot in our darkness.
I'm okay. My coworker and friend goes, "That's your cackle."
Yes, snow foxes are amazing creatures. I went and I did a house sage out in Giscombe, right, just as the snow was starting to fall. And it was really cool. This woman's husband had passed away in the house, and she can kind of feel like a wage of like a war of like his presence and whatever darkness was following him, like kind of having a war in her household. And she was kind of living with it, dealing with it. I went out there, I saged her house. Everything turned out really good. You could feel it was a lot more lighter and stuff like that after I had left. But when I was driving down the road, now keep in mind, it's about 11 o'clock at night, driving down the road, Giscombe Road.
Giscombe, so it's dark.
And I see in the rearview mirror something chasing me. Like down the middle of the road, something's chasing me. And, you know, my first instinct, well, let's stop and pull over and see what's going on.
Oh, I would have brought things out so I could have brought them back with me.
So I stopped dead set right in the middle of the road. And I opened up the door and it was a white fox had ran up to my door and was like between not too much, like probably like 2 feet away. And
that's
it's like
cool.
We both locked eyes for like what felt like 10 minutes, but I'm sure it was only like a minute. And then he turned around and ran into the bushes. And
that's, cool.
That's how I knew that that was a message. Foxes are amazing message senders. Most spirit animals are amazing message senders from our deities.
Right? They all have meanings. And sometimes, you know, like I don't know everything. I'll look things up if I notice patterns. So in my day job, I work a lot with patterns and recognition of patterns and things like that. And so if I see patterns, and they might not have any meaning at all, but I'll look them up and see what that means to me. And I mean, I've been walking around with a dime on my hard days. And that also, you find dimes when somebody wants to say hi to you. And so, and I never, like, I don't like dimes. Why do I need 10 cents? You can't even buy anything with 10 cents.
Not anymore, no.
And the blue nose, like, yeah, not really a sailor. And so not really attached to that. So things tend to find you. And so I'm okay with that. I think that's kind of cool that you don't always have control over your environment. Sometimes your environment has a lot more control over you than you think.
100%. Manifestation is a real thing. So if you're thinking about that one thing and it starts to come to you, well, there's other things that's going to come too. Like, so if you have like a negative perspective on something, like, generally it will happen. But if you're like, okay, well, that kind of sucked, but like, let's look at the brighter side. It's like looking at the cup half full versus mm-hmm. half empty, right?
And I tend to be half empty.
And I tend to be half full.
I tend to justify my dark side, and I'll say I'm a realist, right?
Yeah.
And say, you know, and I have to push myself sometimes. I'll have to be like, oh God, you just said like a really sarcastic, dark thing. And I'll have to laugh it off as, you know, a joke or being funny. And sometimes, you know, people don't always get me, and that's okay. I'm not gonna be everybody's friend. I have had to say sorry to some people that I did not mean it like that. And that's okay. You know, I'm not gonna be perfect. I'm not over anybody. I think we're all, you know, my head is not big enough to think that I'm better than anybody else. And I'm okay to muck up. I'm okay to make mistakes. And we're not going to be everybody's person.
Yeah.
And with that, I'm not going to, you know, I think we're so unique that our fingerprints, our handprints, I think our eyes, I think the way we are built is so cool. But also our insides, you know, what we manifest inside, what our thoughts are, our trauma, how we've been built with trauma,
our outlets,
every experience that we've ever had makes us so unique. We're not going to get with everybody. We're not going to be understood by everybody. But to me, this gives me an outlet. This gives me an approach that I can handle my life, that I know where I'm going. I know what I'm doing. And I'm okay with it.
That's amazing. I love that. I love how you found your comfort. I like how you kind of went through like a traumatic experience, and instead of just
not just one,
a couple.
There's more. Oh, not just a couple. I wish we could just wrap it to a couple.
Okay, there was a detrimental part.
Let's say plentiful.
Plentiful.
A plethora.
But you didn't just sit there and go, oh, my life sucks. What am I going to do? I'm going to sit here. I'm going to do nothing. I'm going to wallow and I'm going to wait to die. No, you actually found the beauty in the darkness. And you took it and you used it as your creative juices to make things that are
Don't say that.
That are just so phenomenal that, like, gray witches, black witches, just everybody's having such a great time with all your stuff and how creative you are, and just like how you've been able to turn something that hurts so bad into something that makes you feel so good and so connected.
You know, I think there's art is very cool, but also the person who makes it, the artist, we have to be very, very careful and be very true to ourselves. Artists grapple a lot with anxiety, and sometimes to the point of being crippled. And we have a hard time with certain things. We have a lot of highs and a lot of lows, and we've got to find that sweet balance. Yeah. And we're all only one paycheck away from poverty, from living on the street, literally. And we've got to make choices that better our life. And this outlet helps me because, well, it keeps food on my table. It keeps my heat on. It provides a roof over my head. It fills my dog's bowl at the end of the day. And, you know, I'm able to express my artistry, my creative side, so that my mental health stays in check.
Yeah.
And that I don't do anything that I shouldn't, because artists, and we have to. We have to be so on top of it, because we are so close always to color outside the lines. And sometimes we do. Okay. And, you know, it's okay to do a loop and then loop back in, but we have to be very cognitive that we don't loop out very far.
All right, Tamara. So before we wrap this up for the night here, what does your workshop look like? What does your creative spot, your happy spot look like? What would something like that look like to a person?
So I've just given you like a little side share to my mind. So do you really think I just have one spot? And here's the cackle again. No, sweetheart, the whole house is my spot.
The whole thing.
You betcha, baby. Right now in my kitchen, I have a cookie sheet of bones that just came out on low heat. Right? Okay. So then we go into the living room, and I've got animal skulls hanging in my living room. So I got a horse. I've got a steer. I've got a buffalo. I've got a moose. I've got antlers, and I've got a coyote. I've got a wolf. I've got a beaver. I've got all these things that are hiding in pots and plants, and they're hanging in on the walls. And yeah, they're kind of cool. And, you know, I flip furniture wherever that goes to. So that's a creative nightmare, but I can. When you own your own house, you can do whatever the hell you want. And so some of my creative spaces are downstairs, and I have different things hanging on walls. I'll have jawbones or pails of jawbones, and I wait for things that I see that would pair well with them. And some things are jars, and some things are, I like sunflowers a lot, so I have lots of sunflowers around. And I have things that remind me of the outdoors. So a lot of my cushions are like wood rounds, and I have lots of things that remind me of, you know, what I like to do.
So I get this like cottage core, like darker kind of image of your area where there's like drying herbs from the ceiling.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
And, like, I have dead lots bones of on the counters. And
I have actual, right this minute, I use moose antlers to dry a lot of flowers. And so I've got like bunches of lilacs hanging off the tines of moose antlers. And I have different things in my corners. Like, I think all spaces should be utilized. And some people call them hoarders, but also I do things like have crates and things like that. My great grandmother loved jars and canning and collecting. And so jars and mason jars. And I mean, I'm sure a lot of people will identify with mason jars here.
But, 100%.
Right? There's not a spot that you can't look in my house and go, oh my God, there's a jar, right? I have jars throughout my house. I have jar ornaments. I have jars. I have skull jars. I love skulls. They're human skull jars, but that's okay. They're not, no actual humans were injured. It's just glass.
Oh, I got excited for a moment.
No.
Sacrifices.
No sacrifices. I don't take it that far. No gray jumpsuits here. You know, and I don't believe in hurting, you know, humans. I believe in helping, right? And definitely not that way. But yeah, I do like skulls and I do like that dark side, right? And I think there's peace with it. And so, yeah, very cottagey, very old world house. Lots of things hanging.
Why do I feel like your walls are made of clay?
No, they're drywall, and, you know, there's lots of scratches and marks because houses that are lived in aren't perfect.
No.
And so, you know, I have fun with it, and one day I'll repair it, but yeah, I have been known to do art on the wall as well, and so, lots of projects on the go, I can't keep up.
I know, I keep you busy.
Not just you though, but like I've got, you know, right now I've got a sideboard in the living room.
Sideboard like a robot?
No, sideboard. Oh. Like kitchen sideboard, 8 feet long in my living room that I'm trying to paint and do up and flip. So I'm always on the go, but I'm still finding the time to do up your bowls and do lots on the side and, you know, again, to pay the bills, to have a little bit of extra so I don't have to worry about what the tent looks like or where I'm going to put it. And so, you know, that people can come and find something that's unique that they identify with, that they can decorate their house with, right? Exactly. Or a curiosity or something that they like. So very dark art curiosity minded.
Well, all of my dark witches are just loving everything that you're producing. It's almost like they can sense it, too. They walk in and they're like, oh, this is new. I want this. And it's something that you've made.
That's cool.
Or something that you've scavenged and put into, like, a little jar. Or something that you found joy in doing from your own dark side type deal that brought someone else's dark side some joy, too.
Which is weird, but, you know, people don't always identify with how excited you can be by having, say, a squirrel in the freezer or what that means. But, and not everybody, like some people are like, holy shit, you're a lunatic. And it's like, well, maybe I am and I'm okay with that, but I have purpose for that. And, you know, to me, anything that doesn't go to the garbage, that doesn't find itself on a stinky landfill, you know, that's a better life for them, right? That they find themselves to be made into art or find it to be made in art. I mean, God, that would be like an amazing thing that humans can have and the power over their own lives as well.
I love the circle of life that you've kind of created here.
Thank you very much, Robin.
Well, thank you so much for coming on, Tamara, and I look forward to working with you and continuing to see all of your wonderful dark arts that comes in. And I don't know, maybe I'll get you started on some rituals one day.
Oh, God.
Thank you so much, guys. Thanks for listening.